kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Teaching, and we're calling this teaching today The Watchful Eye. The Watchful Eye. And I want to take this from Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, and we're calling this The Watchful Eye. Now, we've all read this many times, but this is where John is addressing the church at Sardis. And this is what is said to this church. This is probably known under a heading as the dead, sort of lifeless church. Now, of course, we have to remember that these seven churches are types that can be spiritually seen today. We were looking last time, weren't we, at the Laodicean church, the lukewarm church. That is very characteristic now of these days that we live in. But this church here in Sardis, it says this: these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I've not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed with white garment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And we're calling this today The Watchful Eye. Wise virgins are going to be watchful. They are going to heed what the Spirit is saying to the church. They're not going to reject what the Spirit is saying, even if they don't understand it fully, or they're not sure, but they are not going to quench the Spirit. They're going to be watchful and discerning. They are people of prayer and in the word and a desire to do God's will. And there is, like in all these churches, a remnant that is to be found. The same as today, God today now has a remnant to himself. And that is why I always take great comfort and delight, because I see part of God's remnant preserved for these end times. I see them today, now, with my eyes in this room. We know that we are here by the grace and mercy of God, because we're all very aware we will be going off otherwise, doing our own thing. And so it opens up and he says in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. And so the Lord cautions us to be watchful. And this is why, of course, I'm calling this teaching the watchful eye. Why? In case we grow careless and we become defiled from the world and trusting in the world and the world's wisdom and so on. We have to guard ourselves from this. And of course, we have many admonitions from the Lord with regard to this. But we also have to be on our guard from error, because we know that we are surrounded today with so much error and heresy. But thank God that the remnant, it discerns and tests the spirits and has that knowledge and understanding of the word. But not only that, we have to be watchful from the traditions of men. Because man is very traditional, he is very religious, and he likes his tradition. Why is man traditional and religious? Because not only can he be in control of it, but because he doesn't like change. He likes things established that are reliable. But you see, God doesn't work this way. You see, it's impossible to bear the name Christian but deny its life and power. And many churches outwardly, they look alive with their outreaches and all their programs and everything that is organized. But it's somewhat a camouflage, because you will find so often there's actually a lack of faith and a real understanding and belief in God's word. In other words, they lack the power in the word for change. And you see, God has not done that with us. God's remnant is watchful in all these areas, and they have a great understanding and awareness that these changes in their lives is important. In fact, God has put within us a hunger for change. He's put within us an expectancy for change, because we are seeing his greatness, his bigness, how he is faithful and true to his word, and how he keeps us in his mercy and grace with this over all these years. And that's why he wants us to be watchful in these closing days, because so many are not watchful. And the tragedy is that many of our brothers and sisters in a lot of these churches around the world aren't really watchful in these closing days. And this is why they're going to be deceived and taken in when the Antichrist comes forth. We can see it all being planned out almost. You can almost see it with your eyes, how the stage is being set. And the reason that you see it is because it causes us to cry out to God, Lord, keep me watchful. Keep me in your word. Keep me walking by faith and not by sight. And so as we discern and we see these things, so it should cause us to cry out to God. Even though we are experiencing in many ways the church being dead, it looks like that outwardly. But God is showing us that there is a remnant. And he says, be watchful. You see, you can be busy in religious works, but that busyness will cause you to lack for that thirst and hunger to go deeper with God and the things of the Spirit. That is why the enemy will keep you busy. That's why he'll keep you busy in spiritual activities. And it's not to say that we aren't involved in them, but they are not a means of stopping us from going deeper with God and thirsting for God and to go deeper for these spiritual things and experiences. And that is the point. And that's why God has given us the deeper life in the Spirit for that very purpose. And yes, it is the distractions that are in the world that try to draw us away. You see, the enemy knows he can't destroy you. But what he will try and do, he'll try and distract you. And that is where you then start to take your eyes off those things that are causing you to grow spiritually. He's very clever and very subtle how he does it. And so he says, be watchful. Now, this also means that we're to keep our spiritual senses alert and not be carried away by something that maybe is popular or something that outwardly produces results, because so much of Christendom wants things that is popular, a preacher or minister that is popular. They want to see things that are producing something, these live mega churches. But remember, and I taught on this many times, Jesus said the gate is narrow into the kingdom, and few there be that find it, because man wants the broad way, because it appeals to the emotions, to the intellect. Jesus never walked the broad way, but the narrow way. He was trained for such a walk. And this, of course, is why the religious people rejected him, because he wasn't speaking their language. He wasn't going to the places that they were going. He wasn't fellowshipping with them, the scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, those religious people. And that's why they didn't like him and got him out of the way and had him crucified, because he was revealing the way into the kingdom is through the narrow gates. And that's why God has given us the deeper life in the Spirit and the training for this. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter if you hear a church somewhere where there's miracles going on and the blind are seeing and the lame is walking or whatever it is. Praise God if it's true. I thank the Lord for that. But our discerning, our testing is, what is the word that is coming from there? What is the teaching? Is the unction of the Spirit present? Our lives changing and becoming holy and sanctified for the Lord. They are the deeper things that you watch and you look for. But it seems as though so much of that has gone out of the window now. That's old hat. That's things of the past. Well, it isn't. And so he says here, be watchful. And then he says, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I've not found your works perfect before God. So here he then says that we are to strengthen. And those things that have hindered us have to die. For example, wrong ideas about the word, or simply compromise in one's life. So he says that not only be watchful, but strengthen those things which remain. Keep with it, in other words. Strengthen in the faith. You see, these are the important things that God constantly reminds us of. You know, it's so easy to say, well, my spiritual development isn't so necessary. I've been now walking in this walk for years and years. And we sort of just think, well, it's not so necessary now. You know, I've heard it many, many times, and we rest a bit on our laurels. We can't afford that at all. Every message that we hear is potentially the last message I may hear on this earth. That's how near we are. And so we strengthen the areas in our prayer life and in the word. We strengthen those areas with regards to those fleshly appetites. We strengthen those areas with regard to the tongue or that critical spirit. We constantly have to be watchful in these areas. We cannot become complacent, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's what he means here. To be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I've not found your works perfect before God. And then he goes on in verse 3, remember therefore how you have received. So we remember the truth. We remember how God has worked with us, how he brought us into the deeper life teaching. And God didn't make a mistake. Many have gone away now thinking that that wasn't God leading them, but that was the powers of darkness. How deceived. But you see, this remnant that God has got, he will remind us how he called us at the beginning, how he introduced us, how he was always one step ahead. And he brought us to the right ministry, the right church at the right time, the right teaching at the right time, and so on. Because we're a work in progress. No, it wasn't perfect. And God is still working perfection with you and I and with FGA. But here we are. We are still listening. And we're still being brought together by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And this is why this reminds me of the parable of the sower, one of the greatest parables Jesus gave. And it's all on how we hear. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Am I still hearing as I was hearing 10 years ago or whatever it would be? Is my hearing still sharp? Spiritual, is there still that desire for the seed of the word to be planted still in my heart? Because if not, that seed will die. If it doesn't go into the heart, you mark my words. Yes, even after walking all these years, that can still happen. And there probably are times when we have not allowed that seed to do the work as it should have and has died. God forbid. And as we know in James chapter 1 and verse 22, James chapter 1 verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Do you know that there are many who profess themselves as Christians but are deceiving themselves? You and I could be deceiving ourselves if it were not for the grace and mercy of God. That is why when you take faith seriously and the word seriously and you desire with all your heart that the seed goes into your heart, it's going to cause you to be a doer of the word, which is going to keep you from deception. This is the worst form of deception because it's dealing with self that thinks self is right. And sadly, we see these people. And so he's going to have us to live and walk this walk. Now, I know it's not easy, and particularly in the age and generation that we live, but God is a miracle-working God, and he can work through any situation, any state that the world is in or a nation's in. That's nothing to God. Because there are times I ask myself, can anything come forth in this pagan world that we live in? But what is he saying? 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, which you know very well. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And they speak lies, hypocrisies, and so it goes on. They become completely deceived. Well, going back to this church in Sardis in Revelation 3, he says, therefore, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Now, I'm not going to go too much into this because, of course, we spoke a lot about this on Sunday. And I know some of you were greatly challenged by this. Some of you emailed me and texted me. And some of you shared some things that you were going through and how that word had in many ways virtually saved your lives. And I knew that that was a special word on Sunday. God had just put that in my heart, that this is important to be said. And praise him, he always confirms. And so we thank the Lord for his mercy and grace, how he's always one step ahead of us. Because, of course, he knows before we know. So he then speaks here about repenting. This is why we make much about repentance. Not in a legalistic way, but then in a way where you keep close accounts, where God can continue to work with you, where no sin and unbelief gets in the way. And so it's a reminder of what we have been given, and we keep with it, and whatever is revealed, if it requires a repentance, then we know what to do, because that is the key to this. And the reason I mention this is because, therefore, if you will not watch, which is also repentance, in other words, if you are not on the mark, you're not diligent about this, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. That is telling me that you are missing the rapture. You ain't going to go up. Because for some, he's going to come like as a thief. But he's not for those who are watchful. And see, it means that I'm watching over my spiritual life. I'm strengthening those weak areas because I still have those weak areas that need strengthening. And that is where humility and honesty comes in. Because some think they've arrived because they've been at it for so many years and been under the faith teaching for so many years. We have to watch that attitude and complacency. We still need areas that are strengthened, that are weak, and that will probably be until almost the time the Lord comes to rapture and take us from this earth. Hallelujah. So he says, watch, because if you don't, I will come upon you like a thief. He says, I've not found your works perfect yet. In other words, what he means by this is your works are not fulfilled. You've not fulfilled the work that I have for you. And this is the work that he has for us, preparation for the future. This is what we should be about and not get distracted from. And whatever God wants to do, whether individually or corporately, he's well able to do it and will do it through you as how the Spirit leads. Because everyone wants to get out and do. And it's understandable. I understand it. But you have to put first things first. As it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We've got at times wrong ideas of what we think are good works. We work for the Lord. That is the first thing that we have to understand. I work for him. I do everything for him. I'm answerable to him. I will do and go wherever he wishes me to go. That is what it's meaning. So that we've been created in Christ for good works. And God prepared this beforehand that we should walk in them. So your works are prepared beforehand. This meeting tonight and our gathering together tonight, today, this was already prepared that we should walk in it, that we should be together, that we should be in fellowship today, now. This is part of the works. These are the works that glorify God. When we get under the word and the anointing, when we have fellowship, when we come together in a prayer meeting or whatever it would be, these are part of the works that have been prepared beforehand. So don't ever see yourself as useless or what part do I play in the body of Christ? Here it is. You are vital. This is what God has prepared beforehand. That we should what? It says walk in them. So the walking means you actively move into what God wants you to do. So we've all actively come together. We've actively come into this room. Or when we have a live meeting, we all travel actively to be together. This is all part of the works. as well as the other works as well, where God wants you to work physically with your hands, that you do it under him. Or you have a job, whether you're retired, you're a housewife, looking after the home or children or whatever it is. These are the works God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But somehow we get it planned out how we think it should be, and we get religious and so on. Rest in God, because he has not made a mistake over your life or my life. And whatever he has of you and requires of you, he is well able to get your attention. He's well able to use you in whatever capacity and whatever glorifies him. And he will. And he is. But as we have read in this church at Sardis, you have to be watchful. And you have to have that watchful eye. You have got to see things much more spiritually. And that's why, as I close, I go back to the analogy of the eagle. That eagle that's able to soar in the heavens. But he has an amazing eyesight and can look down and hone in on its prey. Can see from high up, even a little mouse or whatever it would be. Fantastic eyesight. And that's the same as with what God is doing with us. He is getting us to be spiritually watchful so that we can discern, we can test, we can see the signs and the times. We're able to pray and go into warfare effectively because of this watchful eye. I was reminded of the powers of darkness, where we're very familiar of seeing this third eye that's on the top of the pyramid. Well, there is a counterfeit what Satan does. Whatever God does, Satan counterfeits. Remember, he cannot create. Only God can create. So he can only copy, and it is a counterfeit. And so we don't, of course, have a third eye, because that's pagan, that's witchcraft. But we have God's eyes. We're being watchful as he's training us, so that we can discern, we can see, we can hear, we know what is taking place, we know what the powers of darkness are doing in this world, so that we can effectively get into warfare, get into prayer, because this is important. Our prayer, our warfare, is for the development and the coming forth of the man-child. Why do I say that? Because the dragon is right next to the man-child, the woman that is to give birth. He's very close because he sees what is going to put him down. He is very aware of what the Spirit is doing with the sons of God that are going to come forth. As I've said, he's no fool. But God has given him that access. God has allowed him to come close. And do you know why? Because that is perfecting us. And that is what is preparing the sons of God to come forth. And that is why he's having us watchful. That is why he's going to have us in prayer, in spiritual warfare, because we are seeing what he's up to. Hallelujah. Well, there we are. Even in that dead old church in Sardis, there were a few there. And he says, You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So there you are, a remnant again, who have got those garments, and they're not defiled with religion or just a lack of spiritual seeing and insight. They're not defiled with that. They're awake. They're alert. And if you are aware that you're not as watchful as you were, or around the business of God as you were, then what does he say? Repent. And he's faithful. He forgives. So that you and I are ready when he appears in the heavens. Father, again, we thank you for encouraging and exhorting us. We need to be reminded, and we thank you for this. We thank you, Lord, that you are working in and through us, and we rest in that. Thank you today for our fellowship and our coming together. And Lord, I pray you'll bless and preserve and keep us all, Lord. And Father, may we be faithful to that which we hear. For we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Let him in constancy follow.